This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What happened to stocks in the U.S. time zones on Friday is contributing to down days in Asia and now Europe. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Japan's Nikkei index fell 2.2% today, but it's also true that index tends toward the volatile. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.1%. The FTSE in London down 1.2% now. Germany and France down as well. This after the S&P 500 on Friday fell more than 2% and the Dow lost 665 points, 2.5%. It was the weakest day for stocks of the Trump presidency. We just got off the line with Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in the UK.
I think there's an expectation more broadly that interest rates are now on an upward cycle. We've seen economic data out of Japan, China and Europe today come in much better than expected. That's prompting reassessment of the current easy monetary policy of central banks, putting upward pressure on rates. So you might see a little bit more downside in equity markets while that imbalance readdresses itself.
You used the line that when the U.S. sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. Well, that sneeze was Friday's strong U.S. employment report, which also showed American workers getting paid more, with wages up 2.9% annualized. Market participants believe this is the sort of inflation that could raise interest rates even higher than many were planning. I want to bring in Dean Baker, senior economist and co-founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington.
I think people really did overreact to that report. I mean, the overall wage growth, 2.9%, we'd actually had seen that in prior months. Also, it was fairly narrow. If you look at a different measure that captures most of the workforce, production and non-supervisory workers, it's about 80-plus percent of the workforce. That was just 2.4%. On top of that, workers have a lot of room to make up. They took a really big hit during the downturn. There was a big shift from wages to profits. And the idea that the Fed has to stamp on the brakes just because a little bit might be shifting back, that seems to me a little backward.
And for people whose standards of living have been languishing for years now, you'd forgive them for saying, if this is the best of times, is that all there is?
Yeah, I mean, we really need some decent wage growth, and let's hope, at least in my view, we start to get some. And the idea that that should be viewed as a crisis that the Fed has to stamp out, I mean, I think people have a reason to ask, well, who's the Fed working for?
Now, separately, there's this dynamic of a stock market that's been climbing and climbing, and I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised when you have a bad day or two.
You're always going to get some correction. I don't know anyone who thought the market would just keep go up, up, and up. I warned about the bubble back in the 90s is going to crash, this and that. I don't see that today, but could the market fall 5%? That's certainly possible. That would be unfortunate if you have a lot of money in the market. For the rest of us, it doesn't matter very much. In 1987, the market fell over 20%, and you're hard-pressed to find that in the data.
Dean Baker, senior economist at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
This morning, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are pointing to a lower opening on Wall Street. The Dow future is down 0.8%, 205 points right now. Bonds are also starting the week lower with higher interest rates ahead. That's pushing the 10-year Treasury yield, a useful benchmark for interest rates in America, up to 2.84%. Who could forget the government shutdown just last month? Well, that temporary spending plan is set to expire this Thursday. Meanwhile, a Republican and a Democrat in the Senate are now planning to introduce a bill to put people who came to the U.S. illegally as kids on a path to citizenship. That plan would focus on what are called the Dreamers. John McCain of Arizona and Chris Coons of Delaware are now not proposing money for President Trump's border wall as part of this package. We regularly check in about fresh data from what's called the Gen Forward Survey of Millennials. Kathy Cohen is a professor of political science at the University of Chicago and founder of the survey, which this time is focused on attitudes of 18 to 34s on immigration. Professor Cohen, good morning.
Good morning.
So a front and center public policy issue, clearly what to do about the Dreamers, And broad brush, what did you find about people brought here as children who didn't have the documentation to be here?
Overwhelming support is what we found across race and ethnicity. So 84% of African Americans, ranging to 79% of white millennials, believe, in fact, that there should be a pathway to citizenship for young people who qualify for DACA.
What about this notion about whether or not immigrants compete with native-born people for jobs?
We asked the question, are immigrants taking jobs away from people who were born in the United States? Asian American and Latinx millennials are the least likely to agree with a statement like that. As we look at African Americans, we begin to see a creep upward. So about 34% of African Americans believe, in fact, that immigrants are taking jobs from people born in the United States. And for whites, the number creeps even higher to about 42%.
And here's where you see a striking division depending on the person's race, is this idea of whether or not someone's taking a job.
No, that's right. I think it has to do with the surroundings and the context in which you find yourself and your proximity to other individuals who, in fact, are immigrants. When we look at African-American unemployment, for example, even though the president suggests, in fact, it's the lowest we've ever seen, we know that African-American unemployment tends to be twice that of white unemployment. So if you're a young African-American person trying to find a job and you're finding difficulty securing a job, you also are hearing the narratives that there's this group out there, this other, that may be taking jobs away from you. And that kind of individualized narrative is often easier to digest than a structural narrative.
So the data show responses that are really all over the map on this issue. I mean, what does that say to you?
Well, I think it represents kind of the public discourse around immigration that's all over the map. It suggests, in fact, that we have a kind of polarized view of immigration with different ends of the political spectrum kind of espousing their position and much less discussion across those groups that can be informative and critical and help people to really understand the issue of immigration.
The University of Chicago's Kathy Cohen is founder of the Gen Forward Survey. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
Gen Forward takes extra steps to be sure that younger people of color are represented in their regular survey. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.